A Journey, My Political Life, by Tony Blair. Read for you by the author.
At about 2 a.m., something most peculiar happened. Cherie is difficult to wake once asleep, but I woke to find a policeman standing by the bed, which, as you can imagine, was quite a surprise. As I struggled into consciousness, he told me that he had tried the bell, but I hadn't heard it, that Princess Diana had been seriously injured in a car crash, and that I should immediately telephone Sir Michael Jay, the British ambassador in Paris. At 4 a.m., I was phoned again, however, to be told that she had died. I know that sounds callous. I was genuinely in grief. I liked her and felt desperately sorry for her two boys. But I also knew that this was going to be a major national, in fact global event, like no other. How Britain emerged was important for the country, internally and externally. As I contemplated her death and what I would say, I felt a sense of obligation as well as sadness. I felt I owed it to her to try to capture something of what she was. I sat in my study in Trimden as the dawn light streamed through the windows and thought about how she would have liked me to talk about her. The palace had, of course, put out a statement, but there was no intention for the Queen to speak. By then, I'd worked out what I wanted to say. I scribbled it on the back of an envelope and discussed it with Alistair. The last thing you need at a time like that is a back coverer, vacillator, or sycophant. The phrase, people's princess, now seems like something from another age. And corny, and over the top, and all the rest of it. But at the time it felt natural, and I thought particularly that she would have approved. It was how she saw herself, and it was how she should be remembered. What they loved was precisely that she was a princess, but still vulnerable, still buffeted by life's ups and downs, capable of healing their wounds, because she herself knew what it was like to be wounded. We drove the couple of miles to the green in the centre of Trimden, where the old church stands. Alistair had arranged for a pooled press group to be present. I got out of the car and just walked up and spoke. It was odd standing there in this little village in County Durham, on the grass in front of an ancient small church, speaking words that I knew would be carried around the country and the world. They would be a major part of how people thought of me. Even today people talk to me about it. You think of the great speeches prepared over days and weeks, the momentous events that shape modern history and in which I played a part. The political battles, the crises, the times of elation and despair. Yet those few words scribbled on the back of an envelope probably had as much coverage as anything I ever did. The national mood was exactly what we thought, an outpouring of sadness, but already it was tinged with anger that she had been taken away. At first the rage was turned on the paparazzi who'd been following her. It is perhaps hard to convey what it's like to be a public figure and feel hounded. And for perfectly understandable reasons, many people don't feel sorry for the famous, most of whom have willingly taken that path. They take the upside, so the argument goes, and should jolly well put up with the downside. Anyway, small price to pay, isn't it? Except, in Diana's case, it had gone way beyond a small price. She was literally hunted down. She was a goldmine that was constantly plundered. The digging was deep and unusually desperate, because the gains were so immense. Of course, media people say she was happy to pursue the media when it suited her. But this is a far less compelling argument than it seems. The truth is, in the full glare of media attention, you have no option but to engage with them, to try to mould their view of you, to try to prevent a different and often unflattering and unfair view from taking hold. In other words, sometimes there is no choice. Either you attempt to feed the beast, or the beast eats you. Now at points, she fed them more than was necessary, but that doesn't alter the basic fact. She was subject to a degree of persistent, intrusive, and dehumanizing harassment that on occasions was frightening, excessive, and wrong.